And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
It was Hall of Fame weekend, so it was only fitting for Nathan MacKinnon to pop off. What a stud. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 6, Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney. What a weekend. Jake, 4, Nathan MacKinnon, 9 points in 2 games. Insanity, man.
Guy is a complete stud. I got to give a shout-out to Pete Jensen, Chris Meaney, right off the top of the show. They were doing the sell job all summer long to say Nathan MacKinnon first overall in fantasy hockey over Connor McDavid. We still have a lot of racetrack left, as we know, Nick, but right now it's playing out that way. Nate Dogg looks like the clear number one pick in fantasy hockey this year.
1,000%. I was actually going to wear the Art of Ocala I Suck at Fantasy Hockey t-shirt today, but I didn't get on in time because, yeah, you guys nailed that. I for one, had so much pushback, and it's been that type of start for Connor McDavid, but Nathan MacKinnon, I thought it was only fitting. Like I talked about Hall of Fame weekend, it was only fitting as well that MacKinnon reminded all that, hey, I'm still Nathan MacKinnon. With all the young kids coming, like Carlson, obviously, in Anaheim had a monster weekend. Celebrini's been great, Bedard's been great. It was like the old dog saying, you know what? I'm still alive here, boys.
Exactly, and that's what we're seeing around the league, right, Meany, is this mix of, we've got the guys like Nathan MacKinnon who we expect to be up there. As much as McDavid seems to be leaving more to be desired this year, he's still putting up nice points. I mean, it's not like he's totally killing you if you took him first overall, but it's the young kids at the top of that point scoring list, Meany, that have been really impressing all of us. Macklin Celebrini, Connor Bedard, I'm wearing the Bedard shirt right now, and Leo Carlson, I think probably the most surprising name for me to see there in the point production from him. It's been impressive from these young guys early in the season.
Extremely impressive. Bedard is, nobody's really even talking about him, right? Macklin Celebrini was getting all the love, and Celebrini's got the 24 points in 16 games. Bedard has 25 in 16 games. He's been phenomenal. Leo Carlson, another great showing from him last night. His goal against Vegas the other day, where, you know, he went backhand shelf, is just the poise and the confidence that he's playing with, and you forget he's only 20 years old. So he has 25 points as well. Yeah, you guys mentioned MacKinnon. I mean, the 14 goals, he's shooting the puck. Oh. 71 shots on goal leads everybody. So he's been great. And Nick, the Ducks did it again last night. So a 7-game winning streak. They lead the Pacific by 5 points. Only Colorado has a better winning percentage than them, points percentage rather. And over this run, they've beaten Winnipeg, Vegas, Dallas, the Panthers twice, and the Devils. Like, this really looks legit.
It's probably premature, but last night I was like salivating over the prospects of a first-round series that's not Edmonton and Los Angeles. Maybe it's Edmonton and Anaheim this time around, but I do believe, we all do believe, in that Anaheim Ducks team right now. It's been an incredible story. So plenty ahead on today's podcast, Week 6 Waiver Wire Edition, On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. But Jake, I wanted to start in Buffalo. Rasmus Dahlin takes a leave of absence. The Sabres off to a 5-6-4 start. Bowen Byram is the guy that I think you want to own, obviously, with Dahlin on the shelf here.
I think so, right? And we've always looked at Bowen Byram as a guy with a lot of potential and a lot of skill, you know, going back to that time in Colorado, and kind of feel like, okay, you're blocked out by Cale Makar. And I always wondered that early in his career. How is he ever going to get the time in Colorado to really produce? Because Makar's not going anywhere, and he's as good as it gets when it comes to that category. So eventually he moves to Buffalo, and I, again, have the same thought. Well, he's still kind of blocked out here, right? Maybe it's not Makar, but Dahlin's really good as well, Meany. So with him away, I think you got a little bit of an opportunity there. Am I nuts about owning Sabres players in general? Not really, but they do have games where they can pop, and I don't mind Byram for at least the short-term absence here.
Yeah, this was something that Pete and I were talking about when unfortunate news with Rasmus Dahlin. Who would get that top spot in the power play? We've seen Bowen Byram before with Colorado when Cale Makar missed some time, get the opportunity to quarterback the top power play. So we saw that in the first game. It was a very small sample. I think he had maybe just over a minute of power play time. Power did score. So both of these guys are players to keep an eye on, and they're both going to get a usage jump, Nick.
Yeah, it's a good point. I would still take a look at power there with Byram, because as you guys have mentioned time and time again, like, Byram's had that opportunity in the past, hasn't seized it, and obviously they have a guy like Power there as well, so I would take a look at that file. A lot of injuries over the past couple days. Over in Seattle, Jake, Joey Decord banged up, will miss at least a few games with an upper body injury, placed on IR. Do you have any interest internally on Philip Grubauer or Matt Murray? That's the question.
Ooh, that's a streamer special right there. I don't think that's any sort of long-term hold. I feel like if you see a good matchup for the Kraken, I don't mind firing one of those guys up because, as you know, Nick, I do play the streaming game in a couple of my leagues with goaltenders where it's like, okay, who's on the wire? Who's starting tonight? I'll take a shot. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes you run into a shutout or a really good performance. And we're seeing some players come back into the lineup as well. As much as it's unfortunate to see these players go down, we are getting some good news, meaning on the injury front as well. Matt Zuccarello comes back over the weekend. Always been a big Zuccarello fan, veteran in that Minnesota lineup. They need to get some wins going, string some wins together. And Cole Perfetti comes back on Sunday night for Winnipeg as well. How are you looking at either of those guys, Meanie? Is that just an easy fire them up into your lineup and hope that they can inject some life into these teams?
I'm interested in both. Yeah, I think Cole Perfetti was a player that, Jake, we talked about as a sleeper or a breakout player. Unfortunately, the injury happened, but you know he's going to have a top six role. He's going to be on that first power play, which he was last year in the playoffs, and I thought he had a really good showing. And Nick, we talked about Matt Zuccarello in the last episode, I believe. Like, what happened? Right away, he was placed with Kaprizov. They had that beautiful goal where Matt Zuccarello gives it to Kaprizov. He has the behind-the-back pass, and right away, it's like a give-and-go in Kaprizov. Man, that was such a nice goal, and that's the chemistry that these two players have together. So Matt Zuccarello's ownership is 18%. I think Pete's going to talk him up a little bit. Just the one helper in the two games, but he's certainly worthy of an ad.
I like that little preview of the waiver wire list for week six. Perfetti and Zuccarello Hint are both on that list. How do you guys view, and Means, we'll start with you, Dougie Hamilton. How do you view this player? I know he's banged up. It's been the story of the last couple of years here with the Devils in general, but out at least 1 week with a lower body injury. Obviously, interning Lee Hughes is a guy you want to look at specifically, but don't rule out Simone Nemec either. But how do you view Hamilton on that clogged blue line in New Jersey right now?
Yeah, when he plays, I mean, the usage rate is there, the shot attempts are there, the power play is good, there's a lot of good players, but you said it, man. Like, this is a player over the last couple of years is, unfortunately, he's just not been able to stay healthy. Nemec is a good deep league add, and for Luke Hughes, he doesn't have any points in the last two games. Did you guys see the minutes? 28-56 and 29-39. Like, that is insane. So maybe consider him in the shot prop market or a power play point, and his ownership is around 88%. But yeah, unfortunately, Jake, you know, Dougie Hamilton is just a player that you can't really stay healthy. So, I mean, I'd hang on to him if I had him, but it wouldn't be the end of the world to move on from him either, I don't think.
I did watch that Devils-Penguins game on Saturday afternoon, and it was such a fun contrast of the old guys in Pittsburgh, Crosby, Malkin, Carlson, keeping up with the young guys in New Jersey, the two Hughes, Bratt, who's kind of dancing around. And look, the Penguins held their own. They've continued to be a really good story. New Jersey wins that game in a shootout. Nick, I wanted to get your take on a player that seems to be nearing a return. I'm not exactly sure the date, but Joe Woll making his way back to the National Hockey League. He did get a game in the American Hockey League, played my buddy on the Lehigh Valley Phantoms on Saturday night, made sure he didn't run the goalie, keep Woll healthy, get him back in the NHL. But your take on this and just the Leafs goaltending situation in general, because I know you're close to the situation. It's been a struggle for Stolarz. Hildeby gets a start over the weekend, but could Joe Woll maybe come back and save this thing? I guess it's the great unknown.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating Monday in general in Toronto, where people just want somebody to blame. So now Derek Lalonde, the assistant coach, is taking heat for this defensive abomination. That's what it is. I mean, it starts from the goaltending, the crease out. Defensively speaking, the Maple Leafs are playing D like a beer league team right now. Dennis Hildeby was a nice story on Sunday. He was outstanding, 41 stops in that game, that loss to Carolina. But I honestly feel like it's a really good time to buy low. Obviously, of the four of us, I probably feel the highest about this Maple Leafs team. I think they do this every year. I think, you know, not much has changed outside of Marner leaving the roster from what they put together last year, and that was one of the better sound defensive teams in hockey. So I think at some point in time, they'll figure it out. I think it's a good buy low time on a Stolarz. And Joseph Woll is a guy who's just really, really needed. You look at the workload early on here, Means Four and Anthony Stolarz. He pretty much has had to play nearly every game because they haven't trusted either Caden Primo or Dennis Hildeby had the start on Sunday. But I think it goes to closer to a timeshare when Joseph Woll comes back at some point, I would say, over the next week and a half here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on buying low on Stolarz. I believe in what we saw last year from him. I think he's a really good goalie, and Walsh should be rostered too. I think that's a pretty good tandem. I do have some concerns about the Leafs. I mean, over the weekend, the Bruins and the Hurricanes just peppering, you know, both goalies. But I do agree with you that this team will turn it around. One player, Jake, that is coming back very soon that's sub 60% owned is Vincent Trocheck. Now, our guy Troy messaged this morning in a chat with Pete and said the Rangers or the Sharks. Listen, the Rangers have 6 goals in 7 games at home. The Sharks have 6 goals at MSG this season. Remarkable. But Vincent Trocheck is going to help this team offensively. You talked about Panarin, I think, shaving his head. He had a great game. I think Nick was all over him over the weekend against Detroit. Those two, and him and Mika Zibanejad showed up. I would expect Trocheck to help out this top six as well. He's a banger. He can win you some faceoffs. I think he's an immediate pickup. I think we'll see him pretty soon. But, man, the Rangers are hurting.
I've always been a huge fan of Trocheck, so you don't have to sell me on him. And I mean, they need any help they can get in that top six, right, and get something going. I am seeing a little bit of life from Will Cooley as well, just watching the game. So maybe we get him going, a guy I think we liked quite a bit from that group of Rangers coming into the season. Nick, I'm just at the point now where I'm blindly playing them on the road, and I'm blindly fading them on home ice until further notice. We'll get into on the money later, and the Rangers do play at home on Monday night, so it's an interesting game to kind of get into. But I played them on Friday night on the road. I streamed John Quick in a couple of leagues as well when he got the call, and they seem to have something going on the road, but for whatever reason this team cannot do anything at Madison Square Garden this year.
Yeah, just to foreshadow on the money, like, I'm going to the depths of maybe hitting a Stamkos anytime goal at Madison Square Garden, because I don't know what's going on with the Rangers on home ice. We all thought Mike Sullivan would do a job with that team. It's been a massive struggle, but that's coming up a bit later on. I did want to get to Frank Nazar too, right? Didn't play over the weekend. Ryan Donato was sort of the easy guy I'd pick up right there. But Connor Bedard, I think because of Celebrini's start, Jake, not as many people are talking about Bedard popping off big time this season.
I love to see this. Obviously, coming into the year, we were probably most of us higher on Macklin Celebrini just with what he did last season. First year, it was Bedard's second year last year, and it was very disappointing. And I feel like, again, I don't want to speak for everybody, but for myself, I looked at that Blackhawks roster and thought, how much more improved is it, Meanie? Like, what did they do in the offseason to really bolster this roster? Not much. So it was going to have to be the young guys taking a step, and that's what we've seen. Now, unfortunately, Nazar goes down, and I think he kind of helped Bedard a little bit where, okay, you have two lines now that you have to defend if you're the opposing team. Now, without him, does that become a bit of a struggle for Bedard, at least at even strength? But man, that power play was cooking. Maybe they don't need to score even strength. If they're going to score on every power play like they did, it felt like on Sunday, Meanie, this team's starting to become a story. And same with San Jose. I think these teams look like they're ready to maybe even make a push at the playoffs this year.
Man, like, these teams that have been hurting over the past couple of years, the Blackhawks, the Sharks, the Ducks, the Canadians, they're just all competitive, and it's really nice to see. And you're right, Nick, and myself included, not really giving enough love to Connor Bedard. He's got 18 points during an 8-game point streak. His last couple games, 3-4, he's ripping the puck, which is something we didn't talk about last year, and that's why I kind of leaned Macklin Celebrini in fantasy. But look at the shot volume, 4-5, 4-4. He's got 1 game with 9. Burakovsky's hitting the score sheet. Tyler Bertuzzi's hitting the score sheet. I know Pete's going to talk about Lestrinov. He's a must-add. He's, you know, I was completely wrong about Sam Renzel. He's, Lestrinov's taken over that power play. He's got 5 power play points, and he's hitting the score sheet lately. So, Nick, yeah, there's right now, and Spencer Knight is arguably the best goalie in the NHL when you factor in goals saved above expected and some analytical stuff, and you can check out a lot of stuff on Edge Stats, which he is just checking boxes right now.
Yeah, they've truly been a remarkable story. So has the San Jose Sharks. I got to alert all. It is November 10th, and things can change really, really quickly. But you have to take a bow sometimes on these things and look at some of these young teams. It's been a pleasure to watch them, and we'll see if it's sustainable over the course of the fantasy season. But Chicago, I think a lot of people had wrong when you look at that roster. I mean, it's unbelievable what that team is doing. So let's set up this week, Jake. November 10th to 16th, 4 games on Monday, 9 Tuesday, 4 Wednesday, 10 Thursday, 4 on Friday, 13 Saturday, 5 on Sunday, a total of 49 games. The 4-game teams, Columbus, Edmonton, the Islanders, Rangers, Vegas. The 2-game teams, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Utah. Anything stand out for you there?
Columbus is an interesting one. I think with some players in that top six, maybe you could scoop up. We've talked a little bit about Adam Fantilli this year, and Meany, and I want to get your take on this as well, because we did talk about him a lot, and it feels like they've rejigged the lines a little bit there in Columbus, so maybe we want to look there. Both New York teams as well with pretty good schedules. Emil Heinemann up on that top line for the New York Islanders. So Rangers, I guess if there any road games, we'll play the Rangers, and that's probably where it ends for any Rangers pickups for me.
Yeah, I messaged you guys in the chat about Fantilli when I saw the shuffle in Columbus and Fantilli back with Marchenko and Voronikov. I said maybe he'll get going now, and they combined for 8 points in that game. Fantilli had the two assists. Marchenko's been great. He's got 16 points in 14 games. Voronikov's got 6 goals and 13 points in 14 games. But Fantilli had a great year last year, Nick. 31 goals, 54 points, and most of his damage happened when Monahan suffered that injury. So they're trying to get him going and other guys going inside that lineup. And this is a line to keep an eye on. And I think Fantilli, for me, I've picked him up everywhere I can, because I know a lot of people cut ties with him.
Yeah, Columbus is such a sleeper. I notice some of my waiver wires all the time. People just love cutting Columbus players, and I'm happy to pick these guys up as we look at the Week 6 waiver wire here with Pete Jensen. Pete, why don't we start in the crease? I think anytime you can find value in between the pipes, you're happy as a fantasy owner. I did that over the weekend. Jesper Wallstedt had a great weekend for Minnesota, and slowly and quietly, Yaroslav Askarov's off to a pretty good start here with the Sharks too, right?
He is. What looked like a major weakness for the Sharks through the first couple of games of the season has turned into a nice little tandem with Nedeljkovic and Askarov. I like Askarov way more long term. Good to finally see him not only in the NHL, but playing regularly. A nice win against the Colorado Avalanche the other day. And the Sharks, kind of like the Ducks and the Blackhawks, seem to be beating every team in their way right now. So definitely need to keep an eye on them from a team standpoint as you guys get to On the Money later. But there is a lot of fantasy value, like you say, Nick, to extract from these teams right now. And Askarov, I think, is worth adding because of his ceiling as one of the highest touted goalie prospects in the entire league over the past few years.
Pete, there was one player I was almost certain was going to pop up on your list this week, and Meany alluded to it a little bit. We were high. I was high as well on Sam Rizel coming into this year on that power play for Chicago. Well, Rizel's been bumped off, and we have a new guy on that power play in Chicago, and he's been cooking lately.
He has. Levshinov has the pedigree, number two pick in the draft from two seasons ago, and you look at Chicago right now, seventh in terms of power play conversion percentage in the entire NHL. You know, there's some other surprises in the top 10, namely Pittsburgh at number one, but I can't say that. I could have seen Anaheim taking the next step this year, like you guys were talking about all offseason, especially Nick. I could have seen the Sharks, like we had them in our win projections in the preseason, being maybe the most improved team in the NHL. I did not see this coming for Chicago. So their power play one, whether you're looking at some of the skaters on it, of course, Bertuzzi is really popping off with the exposure to Connor Bedard, and then Levshinov getting that kind of prime usage. Rinzel's still playing a lot of minutes, so maybe keep an eye on him. Keep him on your watch list, but Levshinov is the guy that's cashing in right now.
And this was a top 10 power play last year, too, so I don't think we should be overly surprised. I mean, it goes through Bedard, but yeah, the 7 points in the past seven games and four power play assists in his last three. Any other defensemen? Because, you know, those that have Rasmus Dahlin, we talked about Byram and Power, and then Levshinov thinks, you know, he's not going to give you the same sort of shot volume as Rasmus Dahlin, but is there anybody else in the blue line that we can go grab?
It's an interesting week. A lot of fast players in terms of the edge stats on the defenseman part of this list, whether it's Levshinov and his speed bursts, or you look at Olin Zellwiger, if you want to tap into one of the secondary scorers on the Anaheim Ducks. He's, you know, really good, third among defensemen in the 20-plus mile-per-hour speed bursts, and also really good in long-range shots on goal. And then Keandre Miller, an off-season mover, had a lot of criticism in his days with the Rangers, but I think we all knew that he would have a much better supporting cast around him. And with the injury to Goss Despair, he's on power play one, 4 assists in his past 3 games since coming back from injury and covering categories really well. And again, all these guys are speed demons, so they're just going to be fun to watch every given shift.
They are, and I thought that was, again, a statement victory for the Anaheim Ducks against the Winnipeg Jets, albeit with Comrie in there, not Hellebuck, but we saw Cole Perfetti, Pete, make his season debut in that game, right?
Yes, and he was on power play one, saw some time there. That's what you want to see. He had 15 power play points last year, which was a career high, and now with Ehlers out of the mix, If he can stay healthy, he'll be on power play one and take Ehlers' spot and probably run with it. His career highs last year with 32 assists and 50 points could be surpassed, even though he hasn't played a game until early November. Even without that runway, I still could see him setting career highs this year. He was on our breakout list in the preseason. I'm very high on Cole Perfetti for the rest of the season.
We've talked a little bit about veteran players still getting it done in this league. I know it's kind of been the year of the young guy with, you know, Celebrini, Bedard, Leo Carlson, Cutter Gauthier, all these guys having monster years, but there's some older guys still getting it done. Pete, you got a couple on your list here with good schedules, Kyle Palmieri and Jordan Eberle this week.
Yeah, the Kraken, I know you mentioned earlier the injury to Decord, but they're in playoff position right now. They've been another big surprise that I feel like even fewer people are talking about. Obviously, they have some blips in recent games, but their body of work so far this year is strong. And Eberle's their best player, all things considered. So I think you look at his mid-range goals so far this year, high-danger shots on goal. He's checking different boxes, and his versatility is really important to what those Seattle players are trying to do in the top six. And then Kyle Palmieri, just step back and look at the big picture. You know, they brought him back, and he's in the top 100 overall in fantasy players in standard leagues. I don't think anybody really would have anticipated that, but the Islanders, big win for them at MSG over the weekend, and they're just in that fun phase of the rebuild, and they still have some wily veterans who are getting it done for them in the short term as well.
Palmieri's a sneaky good fantasy player. He throws his body around and he's not afraid to shoot the puck. I mean, sticking with the Islanders, Anders Lee kind of fits that realm as well. Emil Heinemann is a guy that's shown, you know, he's going to get an opportunity on that top line. And Nick talked about the teams playing four games. So the Islanders are a team you can look at. I know Gabe Perreault, Pete, you were kind of big on him, and we both were like, hey man, this is an exciting player. I saw that he was called up over the weekend. Do you feel like you want to wait this out with Perreault, or do you think that he's a guy that maybe you would consider, because the Rangers are a team with four games this week too?
He's a watch list. I mean, the Rangers really need to throw a new wrinkle in there. They need to start developing their young players and giving them a chance to thrive, not only in the NHL lineup but in the top six. For a player like Perreault, throw him on your watch list. Again, yeah, we were really excited about his potential with Kreider gone in the offseason. Of course, Kreider's been a home run, averaging about a goal per game this year for the Ducks. Crazy stuff. But yeah, I do like Gabe Perreault if they throw him in there in the top six. And yeah, back to the Islanders. I mean, just so much fight in that team. And then even earlier last week, right? I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but when they all stuck up for Matthew Schaefer when he got drilled right in the behind the net. I mean, that's what you need to supplement your younger players in the lineup, and a lot of these guys are worth picking into in fantasy. They're not like that dead team that they've been for years in fantasy value. I think, isn't Bo Horvat one of the leading goal scorers in the entire league right now? I mean, they got a lot of offense right now.
Yeah, I mean, not to mention the response from Schaefer with Henrik Lundqvist. We love to see that, too, yeah. From the Islanders' perspective. Anybody else you want to pimp, Pete?
Yeah, I'll mention Wallstead. I think that I have Gustafsson in one league this year. Have not been overly impressed with him. Minnesota's got some defensive issues. You look at Wallstead second in 5-on-5 save percentage in close situations behind only Spencer Knight, who's been the biggest goalie surprise so far. Five games so far, over a 900 save percentage in four of those starts. Wallstedt is another one of those guys that we've been waiting for a long time. Remember, Fleury retired last year, so that opens up a spot for him to be the backup. I wouldn't be surprised if Wallstedt, who's only 16% rostered right now, you could pick him up, and he could eventually come a month or two down the road, be the number one starter for the Minnesota Wild and help them get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, I always love these type of stories where we talk about these goalies for X amount of years and they find it. And you wonder if Wallstedt, this could be the year for him to take that next step. Obviously, a really, really strong tandem in the making there with Philip Gustafson with the Minnesota Wild. NHL.com/fantasy week 6 waiver wire looks with Pete Jensen. Of course, we're going to hit the break. Other side, On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, everyone. Julie Stewart-Binks here, along with former NHLer Nate Thompson. Join us on Energy Line as we share our takes, stories, and surprise guests every week.
Patrick Kane, three-time Stanley Cup champion.
Team USA head coach Mike Sullivan.
Six-time Stanley Cup champion Mark Messier.
With over 800 NHL games, I know a couple guys.
Biz didn't have Twitter. No one knew who he was, so I called Witt, and I'm like, how is Biz? He was like, I'm telling you right now, you're going to hate him. Then he'll be your best friend.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Face Off Inside the NHL returns, taking you deeper behind the scenes than ever before. See it all from the star-studded Four Nations Face Off tournament.
Us against the world, boys.
To the adrenaline of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'm scared of you guys.
With candid interviews and backstage access, experience the sacrifice, the rivalries, and the determination that define NHL greatness.
Just when I thought last year couldn't be topped, here we are.
A new season of Face Off Inside the NHL. Watch now only on Prime Video.
Tune into 100% Hockey, the podcast that connects with general managers, coaches, players, and more. 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Conversations for you. If you aren't listening, you're missing out.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 6 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. An official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Let me start things off. I got a sledgehammer play. The Edmonton Oilers, after just being embarrassed by the Colorado Avalanche on home ice, I expect a response. If anything, I expect another over. Let's start there. Give me the over. But give me the Oilers money line, parlay that with the over, Jake. That's where I'm starting. Means, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, right there with you. I mean, we got a short card, but just seeing the Edmonton goaltending, and on the other side, the Blue Jackets goaltending as well. I mean, both of these teams give up a whole lot. So I mentioned Fantilli earlier. He's plus 128 for a point, put up on that top line with Marchenko and Voronikov, plus 390 for that line to have a point. And they hit in their last game at 55-1 for 2 points each. So why not over at Bet365, 31-1 for 2 points each. And I'll say with Roslovic's been pretty good too, guys. You know, in that top six role, Jake, with Draisaitl, he's and on that top power play for now with Hyman sideline, he's minus 130 for a point.
We got a little pressure to follow up the Thursday show, guys. We were cooking on the money, basically just money on the money across the board. I'm going to go back to one I went to on Thursday, actually, and it was the Noah Hanifin shot prop on home ice here. He's played a couple games since he's come back. I think it hit in like 5 minutes during that Thursday game. He only had one over the weekend in their game, so I like him to bounce back. He gets pretty good value on it tonight against the Florida Panthers. And Nick, I like Vegas in that game as well. I'm starting to get a little bit worried about Florida. I know we should give them a lot of leeway because it's the Panthers. They're back-to-back champs. I get all of that. But, you know, that Atlantic Division doesn't seem to be waiting around for anybody right now. And this is a difficult road trip for them. And they got to get a move on. But I like Vegas. It's a pretty short price for them tonight on home ice.
Yeah, it's funny. I think not many people are talking about Florida because we all have to assume that they're going to turn things on. But those are massive losses, not to mention some of the, depth pieces have been banged up to start this season as well. I talked about it earlier with the Rangers. I don't know if there's value in the money line. Maybe you look at the three-way. They got to win eventually. At MSG, it's been such a tumultuous start for the Nashville Predators. And again, I might get to the level of means of playing a Stamkos anytime goal. Like, he's starting to score, which is great news. I mean, I'm still disappointed I drafted this guy in fantasy hockey, but maybe he's starting to cook a bit here as Steven Stamkos.
I mean, this is the time, right? The Rangers are struggling. They're gripping their sticks a little tight at MSG. I was taking a look at a UC Soros shutout prop. Don't see one yet. Yeah. The under 1.5 goals for the Rangers is plus 450. At some point, they're going to break out, but I mean, maybe not right now tonight. Jake, you mentioned, I love the Hanifin call. I was thinking about him for the TikTok video, and the Florida Panthers are really struggling. But that top line has actually been pretty good. Brad Marchand quietly has 10 goals and 16 points. He's got goals in 4 straight. He has a 7-game point streak with 10 points. Lindell's got 6 points in his last 8, and Luster Ryan has 7 points over his past 8 in a 5-game point streak. So maybe I'm with you on Vegas winning the game, but maybe that line continues to put up points. They don't score a lot of goals, which is new for Florida, but that line for a point each plus 410 over at Bet365.
Nick, it's going to be hard for me not to watch this Rangers home. I just love a good car crash, right? You know, when you're driving on the highway and everybody slows down to look at the crash on the other side of the road. That's what the Rangers and the Preds are. I'm having a tough time with it because the Preds stink. I don't want to bet money on Nashville on a Monday night and start my week off like that. But I certainly can't bet the Rangers at that price. So, I mean, I know Meany alluded to some unders there. I think full game under because you've got the 30th and 31st rank offenses in this game. The Rangers can't score on home ice. The Preds struggle to score basically everywhere, and if it is Igor, I think Nashville's gonna have a tough time scoring in this game. So give me the under in the Nashville Rangers game.
Love it. Tuesday's card, another sledgehammer coming your way. I expect a response from the Toronto Maple Leafs after just a disgusting weekend. They played Boston on Saturday. This is what the Leafs do. They'll come back and win this game, so I'll play the Leafs in that one. And to arguably the game of the year means Anaheim at Colorado. We all saw this coming a month and a half ago, but I like the over. I think offense is going to be supreme in that game in Denver.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And why not continue to take these props with these Ducks players? I mean, Seneca had a couple points last night. Cutter continues to shoot. Leo Carlson has been plus money through this entire run for an assist, so I would take a look at those guys. I like the Stars in Ottawa. Anytime I can get Dallas on the road, probably going to be around plus money. Tyler Seguin at the moment playing with Jason Robertson and Wyatt Johnson, who's been absolutely on fire for the Stars, so maybe take a look at a Seguin anytime point or anytime goal.
Love it. Over to you, PD Props. What do you got for us, buddy, on this Monday?
Yeah, I'll keep beating the drum on Leo Carlson. Like a month ago, I called him the next Barkov. He might be way better than Barkov from an offensive standpoint if he's got 25 points in 15 games as, like a 20, 21-year-old. It's just insane what he's doing, so look for him. Avs give up a lot of goals, too. Like, I played Blackwood yesterday. He got the win but gave up 4 goals, so little shaky defensively is Colorado. Also, back on what we said about Palmieri, tonight faces his former team, New Jersey Devils. He's got 19 points in 18 career games against the Devils. So lock him up there. I like that play for a point or a goal.
Love it. For me personally, it really hurts missing on these guys a year too late. I know last year I had Levshinov, I had Carlson, I had Gauthier, and decided not to keep these guys on my fantasy roster and just biting me in the rear end right now, Jake.
Man, I feel like I missed the boat on some of these Ducks players as well. I was in on Mason McTavish.
Yeah.
I, you know, scooped Seneca off the wire early, but those aren't the guys that are really pot. Like, I know they're playing decently well, and I mean, everyone's getting points in Anaheim, but I wish I had more shares of Leo Carlson, Terry, Cutter Gauthier. I mean, Terry. These are the guys, and shout out to you, Nick, with Chris Kreider, right, Pete? Like, basically anybody in this Ducks roster is rosterable at the moment. We'll see if they could keep this up, but I do wish I had way more shares of Leo Carlson and Cutter Gauthier right now.
And one thing to add on Leo Carlson, 4 straight multi-point games. Wow. I mean, remember, that's a thing you could bet on, multi-point games.
Yep.
When a guy starts to establish himself as one of the clear elite players in the league, that's a way to find a little bit more value in the betting market.
Again, looking forward to that measuring stick game, I think, for both sides on Tuesday night, Anaheim visiting the Colorado Avalanche. Also looking forward to Thursday, Week 6 mailbag edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks, producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberg. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. We'll talk later this week.